Evening. This is Phyllis Pricer, your hostess for The Higher Dimensions. And today I'm going to talk about something really, really important, and that is laughter, a sense of humor. I have a number of things here that I want to read to you from, and some observations and comments and my own understanding and knowledge of this. There is so much in our life that is saddening, that causes us anger or grief or pain or just plain ennui. But laughter is the cure-all for a lot of this. I was reading in a number of articles about how important laughter is, positive affirmations, and good belly laughs. So I'm going to throw a lot of things at you of the different forms of humor that come and the laughter that comes from interactions with ourselves and with others around us. You know, as a psychic, I often talk to people, and so many people who call and talk to me have a lot of sadness in their life, a lot of anger, a lot of worry about, does he love me, does he care for me? And, you know, I would say that 90% of the people that I talk to on the phone and give readings to end up having one laugh at least before we're done. And I almost always have the ability to let people know that there is wonderful, good humor in everything that we do and see. All we have to do is walk around to the other side of this problem and see a solution that has a great big smile on its face. And there are a couple of things, too, that I'd like to do. If any of the listeners out there want to share any of their stories when they laughed, when things happened, and when they were down, and a situation came up where they laughed and the solution came, or the laughter itself was the solution, I'd like you to share with me. It's really important because I'm going to talk to you about body, mind, and spirit and the role that laughter and humor has to play in it. You know, Reader's Digest, for example, has a section called Laughter is the Best Medicine. And there's a whole bunch of stuff in there. And then there's laughter in uniform, et cetera. And there are many things in history that are humorous. I'm going to start out with a couple of things that really, really got me going on this laughter. And I'm going to recommend several books for you to read if you want to, or things you can look up and just have fun with. Because there are places that you can touch on your hands, for example, that can get you smiling. And we're going to talk about those, too. And it's okay to be a little crazy with laughter because everybody loves somebody who laughs. And my first story is really about something that happened 45 years ago next month. That was my graduation from the high school at Mount St. Mary's Academy in then North Plainfield, New Jersey. They've changed the city, but not the state, and I hope they haven't moved them out because it was a big sucker. It looked more like the French Bastille, stone walls 3 foot thick, turrets, towers. We were locked in behind heavy wooden doors. It was wonderful. It was in the middle of nowhere, and we weren't allowed to date either. It was just a fantastic opportunity to be celibate. And it was part convent, part high school, and we were boarding students, and there were what we called day hops. Those are the girls that came during the day. This past weekend, I and about 12 other of the ladies of the Mount, as we were called, had our 45th reunion, and I'm telling you something, there was more laughter and sharing of stories than, and I learned things about people that I went to school with and lived with basically for 4 years that I never knew about their history and backgrounds, and it was absolutely fabulous. We had the most wonderful time at the Tavern on the Green. If you ever get to New York City, by the way, go there and try Sardi's. We went to Sardi's, too, and that was fabulous. The cartoons on the wall are something to see. And the thing is, the whole weekend was filled with sunshine and laughter. I know my angels really set up the entire trip to have a ball and to teach me the joy of laughter. And sharing it with others is absolutely phenomenal. I laughed almost the entire time. I had a dear friend of mine who was also a student, boarding student, come up from Florida. And she and I hadn't been that close at the Mount, but we spent basically 4 years boarding school there. And nice, nice gal, heart is big all outdoors. And she came up, and we did the tramping thing here in D.C. We went to Mount Vernon and all this. And, you know, there wasn't any place that we couldn't find laughter and joy and smiles. It was absolutely fabulous. I never thought I'd make it through Mount Vernon, to be honest with you. Thank God they have a van. They can drive you around now, or they'd be dragging my body up a steep slope. But anyway, we went out and had a glorious time. And the exchanges of stories with those that you've known from your youth, these are really absolutely fabulous. There was a time the bat got in the room, and there was a shrieking and yelling like you wouldn't believe, with one girl shutting the door and holding the other girl in, and she was screaming about the bat getting into her hair. However, she was wearing a shower cap at the time, so I doubt the bat could have done anything about getting into or out of her hair, and so forth. So, you know, this laughter, the sharing of experiences, opened up my mind in a way that I haven't thought of for a while, because one gets weighed down with the jobs that we have. So we leapt back 45 years and tried to catch ourselves up. And let me tell you, it is exceedingly hard to get a group of women together and try to get everything said within 3 hours. It doesn't work. They were knocking down the room around us. That is, if somebody moved, they grabbed the chair so we couldn't sit back down again. And finally encouraged us to leave at the door. And I don't think we ever lost a beat in talking. But it was absolutely wonderful. The other thing was, with this thought came the idea that there were demonstrations there on immigration. I felt really at home. It was so nice of the city of New York to put up a demonstration so that the tour bus we were on had to go to side streets, and there were real traffic jams. Being from Washington, D.C., this is such a home feel to me. I was so appreciative of the fact that they went out of their way to make me feel at home with having a demonstration and traffic jam. However, I didn't get to see all of the city. I really wanted to, but okay. It was nice of them to try. The other thing is that, and those of you who are out there, please call in at some point. Keep me from this. I don't know how if I can do a whole hour on this. But I'm going to read you some things that I found that are really humorous. And see if we can't get you some joy and laughter, whether you're at home, driving on your way home, or just relaxing and sitting at your computer. There's a job classification joke that came around. It's really cute. I really like the last two lines. It says there are two theories to arguing with women. Neither one works. That's true. And another one was, it's a job classification for this. Directions, put 100 bricks in some particular order in a room with a window. Send two or three candidates into the room and close the door. Come back after 6 hours and analyze the situation. If they're counting the bricks, put them in accounting. If they're recounting them, put them in auditing. If they mess the whole place up with bricks, put them in engineering. If they are arranging the bricks in some strange order, put them in planning. If they're throwing the bricks at each other, put them in operation. If they are sleeping, put them in security. If they have broken the bricks into pieces, put them in information technology. If they are sitting idle, put them in human resources. If they say they have tried different combinations, yet not a brick has been moved, put them in sales. If they have already left for the day, put them in marketing. If they are staring out of the window, put them in strategic planning. Last but not least, if they are talking to each other and not a single brick has been moved, congratulate them and put them into top management. Boy, have I met some companies that are run by people like that. That is really fabulous. Some of the other things that we have here are from the self-help of Jin Shin Jitsu. These are things that you can do for yourself. And just holding your fingers and helping yourself feeling better. There's one that's kind of called the happy button, and it's really simple, because if you're feeling depressed or down, one of the things that you can do is hold open just one hand, doesn't matter which one, and put one hand in the other, so the back of the hand is sitting in the palm, and take your thumb and just put it in the very center, the middle of your palm, and just hold it there. That's called the happy button. That's going to bring out a smile in your life. And for some reason, whenever you do that, you start smiling. This is a self-help type of thing that I use sometimes when I'm really down and out and not feeling too terribly swift about a lot of stuff. But other things are this. I'm going to give you some physical healing type of things you can do that you can relax with. Besides the humor of the situation, you can sit and do in front of the TV. And the first one is, all you need is 10 fingers or the approximation thereof. Even if you're missing a finger, you can, or two, you can still pretend and make a fist around any of your digits. But I will tell you in order and what they are. This is a little exercise in healing and helping your spirit and body and mind together that can work. The first is, if you have a thumb, either hand, doesn't matter, you just make a fist around the thumb, just as though you're making a fist as you're going to hit something with your fist, so that your thumb is wrapped around your knuckles, your other fingers, your other knuckles, yes, and just hold your thumb very gently, very loosely. We do not pull, we're not trying to pull, we're not trying to add pressure. Just very lightly hold your thumb for about a minute. What is the thumb for? This is to release tension and distress in the stomach area. This can be releasing acid reflux. It helps. Now, this doesn't heal all of this, but it does release stress. It's good as, if not better than, any stomach acid you can take. And it takes just about a minute, 60 seconds. And then hold the other thumb. You'll be amazed at how fast it works. This is if you eat something that's disagreed with you, if you're upset while you're eating, and as I said, the acid that comes back up on you, spicy foods, whatever, just hold your thumb gently and carefully. It is amazing. I use it all the time. I haven't had an ad acid, and I won't use any names on the air, but I haven't had an ad acid in my system for quite some time because I just use this method very easily. Now, the first finger, the index finger, this is for anxiety and worry. If you just, again, hold your finger very gently and very carefully in your lap, can be held and done anywhere that you'd like to do, just hold it for a moment, and that will help reduce anxiety and worry. Very easy to do. Again, very gentle, very respectful. You might have to hold longer than a minute if you're really revved up, but that's good. Hold on to it. The next finger is your index or middle finger. Now, this has two things that goes with it. One is, it works for the spine, it helps with the spine, and the second thing that is, it's good for anger. If you have somebody, or yourself, if you remember, if you have somebody, like a mate or a spouse or companion or child, who's really angry, just walk up to them and just gently hold their middle finger. They'll stop in the middle of a sentence and look at you, and you know what? They're going to forget what they were angry about. It's worked time after time for me. It's really funny trying to figure out what they were angry about. And the look on their face is really amusing. But you can do it for yourself. So if you want to control your own anger, hold your middle finger. It will, for some reason, discombobulate you. It'll break your thought pattern, and you can release the anger. Anger does not do you well physically. The ring finger, the fourth finger if you include the thumb, but third finger if you don't, the ring finger itself, if you hold on to that, that will help stop an asthma attack. And also it can be used for those who are in deep grief. This is a finger for respiratory stress. And again, if somebody goes into an asthmatic attack, you can hold your own finger, your ring finger, and you can head it off at the pass. If you don't have your inhaler with you or your other medication with you, try holding your ring finger. If something happens, that you see somebody else having an attack and they can't get to their medication, simply hold both their ring fingers in your fist, one on each hand, and you will see they will come out of that asthma attack very, very quickly, very effective. I use it for myself. I've been diagnosed with asthma the last few months. And when I start breathing heavy, I grab my finger, and that takes care of it. Doesn't mean you don't do your medication or see your doctor or what have you, but this is really wonderful. And the little finger, The little finger is for when you try too hard, when you're really stressed and pushing, or when there are heart problems. Again, this is something someone can do if they're having stress or heart pains. They can simply hold their little finger. Again, I'm going to repeat, you do see your doctor, you do talk to your doctor, you take them as you're supposed to, but you can also hold your little finger, and that is going to help ease the heart stress. Okay, so we'll go back over it again. It's the thumb for the stomach and like distress. First finger for fear and worry, or worry and stress, I should say. The middle finger is fear and anger, because very often anger arises out of fear. And the spine is very important. That helps the spine. The next finger, the ring finger, is for asthma, grief, and depression. And the last finger is for heart areas and trying too hard when you're really trying to push. And we all distress ourselves when we work against our heart. And going back to the smile button, well, that's right. In the middle of the palm of either hand, you just place the pad of your thumb in the middle of your hand and put the other fingers around the back, or just hold it back, hold one hand with the other and put your thumb. That is wonderful. Part of what I've learned, I have to go back again to this past Wednesday. On Wednesday evenings, I meet with a small group of people, and we have a meditation and prayer. We do work for healing that way. And then we do channeling. I'm not the only channeler, I have to tell you that. But we do channeling. And this past week, one of the things that we did channel was that, yes, there are a lot of changes coming. And here we're going to talk about precognition and the realities of the world, the geological shifts, the weather changes, the energies, so forth and so on, that happen in our everyday world, in the world around us. And in other channeling sessions, we've heard about changes that are going to happen, portions of the earth that will have a lot of hurricanes, a lot of water rising, swallowing shore edges, tremors, volcanoes, abnormal weather patterns, wind changes, drought, all of these things. They're, you know, part of this is really the natural cycle of the earth. The earth does have different periods, climatic changes that we go through. The geologist can tell you far more about this than can I. But the thing is, there are changes and pressures, and everything affects each other. This world is not just a ball that spins in space, and it's sort of like set up on a clock system that goes 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and there are no changes. It is dynamic. It is living entity. It is impacted by our emotions, our thoughts, the way we live, the way we use the resources we have. Everything we do is interconnected, and that's what the Native American Indians and many other Native peoples and other cultures and other spheres, hemispheres than ours, have always mentioned and stated. And if we look at the rituals and customs of many different tribes and peoples, we find that they all noted there was a rhythm. We had the rhythm of planting and harvesting and storing food and abundance and the lack thereof. And so the people worked according to the cycles and kind of with what our modern technology has brought about. And so many of us are not connected to the earth, so we don't feel this as a rhythm through our hands and the feet where we walk so close on the brown earth and sometimes in our bare feet. We don't feel this as much as we used to. I'm sure people by the shore and on the mountains and people in the agricultural areas, the rural areas, do have still a strong feeling of this. But those of us who are in the urban setting tend to forget that there is a living, breathing being called Mother Earth underneath all that asphalt and all these buildings. And we forget that there is that interplay of energies that brings us with the cycle of living. As we do have different cycles of life stages as we go through them, we have different times of life where some emotions come to the fore stronger than the others. I mean, as a child, there was a lot of laughter and joy and openness and happiness. And as we get older, we tend to become more somber and serious. And sometimes we set aside our laughter and we get caught up in the web of distress and anxiety and the life and death patterns of our parents and our siblings, our friends, and those in our around us. And we move on, and it becomes more and more somber. And in this living, we tend to slip away from the joy and laughter that goes with life. You know, God not only created us, but he created the joy and laughter that is a part of us. And love and laughter seem to go together real well, because when you're laughing, honest to goodness, I don't think you can be angry. I can't. I've never known anybody who can hold on to anger in the face of laughter. We all need that to pierce our own false notions of ourselves, our own falsely held beliefs that keep us bound into our egos. One of the things that I learned from my second marriage was to laugh at myself, to truly laugh and look and to realize I was not as stuffy as I thought I was, and that there's so much humor in everyday little things that, you know, you can turn around and laugh. I mean, even a look at somebody can laugh. Smiling at someone can bring up another person's spirit. You know, even being in an elevator and turning and smiling at someone in the elevator, that can bring back a good feeling for you and may lift that person's day and their feelings to a new high, and they can make it through the day. There's so little that we need to do to make ourselves and others feel better. You know, I don't know if you've ever tried this, but if you're feeling down, you go stand in front of a mirror and grin at yourself. Well, first of all, I felt foolish, but you know what? You go and you start laughing at yourself. I don't know about you, but I look pretty funny standing in front of a mirror grinning at myself, and so I amuse the heck out of myself. But back to the channeling. In the channeling, there was the injunction that with all these changes that are happening, these things that are causing so much fear, we should remember to laugh. That the laughter and the energy that we project through our laughter, through the raising of our spirits, does much, much good. First of all, laughter and good spirits releases endorphins in the human body. That's the first thing. That helps to get pain mitigated or lessen pain around you. But endorphins are what are released to help you feel good. It is wonderful to laugh. You can also tap yourself on the forehead. That does, by the way, release endorphins right in the middle of your forehead. If you tap yourself a few times, 6 or 7 times, and wait a second or two, then tap again, you're going to feel a feeling of well-being and maybe wanting to smile because you're releasing endorphins. Your body responds to the chemical release that way. So laughing does bring about a chemical change in your body through the entire body. 2, the laughter exercises your muscles. It releases tension that has built up. And when you are tense, the body doesn't process the blood flow as easily through the body as it does when it's rested. So laughing causes the muscles to release, and with the releasing of the muscles, the blood goes faster through your body, and you get more nourishment to all areas of your body. So it makes you feel good. Your whole energy cycle, every portion of your being becomes better. Laughter releases the tension that you have holding your stomach. A lot of illness comes from not being relaxed when you're eating and tensing up your stomach muscles and interfering with the digestive process. That's where a lot of illness does come from, and I'm sure there's going to be more written in scientific journals how closely the alimentary tract, as it's called, is connected with good health, and it's very important to have a calm area when you're eating. And laughter when you are eating helps with the digestion, because again, you're releasing chemicals because you're contracting the muscle, and this is massaging your body. So laughter is good when you're eating. Just don't do it with your mouth full. And the other thing too is when you laugh and when you smile, you use many more muscles in your face. So those of you who want to do some anti-aging work, learn to laugh and smile a lot, because there are a lot more muscles used in the act of smiling and laughter. It's very good for you. and it gets your face flushed, and it gets nice blood circulation to the surface of the skin, which keeps it moist, yada, 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 so keep it up, and that is good also. And laughter also brings up, not only for the body itself, but emotionally, it helps release a lot of negative thoughts and anger, as I said before. Laughter and humor are some of the wonderful things. This is why comedians are so wonderful for us and why we feel so good when we listen to jokes or read things that are funny or go to a theater and we listen to plays and people have laughter, musicals or comedies, and why we watch shows on TV where there's the sitcoms, right? These are the things that make us feel good and help us to feel better. Laughter also can bring down a heck of a lot of tension. If you find a place where there's no laughter, you're going to find illness, you're going to find depression, you're going to find fear, you're going to find people who are not doing a really good job. People who laugh tend to be more aware, they tend to do a better job, they tend to be more technically oriented, more accurate in the work that they do. This is a wonderful thing for you to consider. This is for bosses who come in, stop laughing and get back to work. Listen, laughter's good for your employees. They'll do a better job if they laugh. So let them laugh. Let them have a lot of fun. Have fun. Enjoy yourself. And geez, I hope I'm not lecturing to you all. There are some great books to read. And I'm going to read you some excerpts from these books now that are just phenomenal, and they're from different areas. I happen to be very fond of the ARE, the Association of Research Enlightenment, and that is the Edgar Cayce Institute. They are going to have they're having a congress this year in June 18th to 26th, and they are going to have a cosmic comic, which I just love to perform. And the Edgar Cayce teachings teaches that laughter is great medicine along the spiritual path, and nobody makes merry along the path better than Steve Behrman, a.k.a. Swami Beyondananda. I can't say it very well. He's very funny, and he's going to put up a presentation called Wake Up Laughing at the ARE headquarters. And he's going to bring all this laughter out for people to listen to. He's a very internationally known lawyer and humorist and workshop leader. And he has been performing as the Swami Beyondananda for the past 18 years. And he's irreverently uplifting. And he's really good. And I want you to consider going and listening to him, or at least buying one of his books. He's very good. Again, his name is Steve Behrman, B-H-A-E-R-M-A-N, and you can look him up, I am sure. But I am so glad to find out that a lot of this in the laughter area is coming to the fore. There are also some things about psychologists and therapists now are using, for healing purposes, positive affirmations and affirmations that are light. And apparently the group of themselves needed this because a world-class group of psychotherapists met at Disneyland to exchange opinions on the future of psychotherapy. And you know something? They had a lot of laughter and fun there too. And they are pointing out that it's positive psychology that people learn to move ahead and learn to cope. And humor is one of the best coping mechanisms you can have. There's nothing that you really can't tackle if you keep a sense of humor about what's going on around you. Some of the things that I work with, and some of the people that I work with, you know, they are so happy. Excuse me, they're so happy at the end of a conversation when you can make someone laugh. I know what I've had with my kids and gotten to arguments, and believe me, raising teenagers, you do have arguments. There are very few that can go through life, you know, calm. And if I could get them laughing, we managed to see eye to eye, and that helped make life a lot better. Again, if there's anyone out there who wants to listen and call in, rather, and talk to us about some of the humorous moments you've had and you want to share, please do. It doesn't matter what it is, but even a funny situation, we would love to hear you and have you here. And some of the things that I can read you now, you can think of. There are some wonderful signs that I have seen, like Joe's Place, eat here and get gas. Okay. We sell gasoline to anyone in a glass container. I don't know that I've seen anybody in a glass container lately, but I'll do that. In a New Hampshire jewelry store, ears pierced while you wait. I wonder what it would be like to leave your ears and say, I'll come back later when they're pierced. It doesn't work for me. And here's one from a church. Okay, here's the ladies of the church have cast off clothing of every kind, and they can be seen in the church basement Friday afternoons. With or without clothes, I imagine. This afternoon there will be a meeting in the north and south end of the church. Children will be baptized at both ends. That's a wonderful thought. The pastor will preach his farewell message, after which the choir will sing, Break Forth into Joy. And this Easter Sunday, we will ask Mrs. White to come forward and lay an egg on the altar. I wonder what kind of egg it's going to be. At any rate, these are some of the things that I've had, and I've just laughed myself silly on them. That comes from Anguished English. It's an anthology of accidental assaults in our language by a wonderful writer called Richard Lederer. That's E-L-E-D-E-R-E-R, Lederer, and the author of Get Thee to a Punnery. This, he did a wonderful, wonderful job, and he worked, well, he got these, I think, from a group of students and from looking around as well. It's the world of bloopers. He talks about so much of this that it is really humorous. And I sometimes sit down and laugh. Here's a number one. Let's see. Sometimes you can observe a lot by watching. That's good. That sounds like a Yogi Berra to me. And he was the greatest Yankee catcher, so he says, Mr. Lowe says, for the linguistic screwballs he has pitched over the years. And I think his most famous line, dear Yogi Berra, was, it ain't over till it's over. And a nickel ain't worth a dime anymore. And half the lies they tell me, they aren't true. These are the things that you really want to have. Some of the other things that I have read about is in Patrick McManus. He's a wonderful author. He wrote, let's see, he's a sports writer, but honest to goodness, he's the funniest man I think I've ever read. He has a lot of his essays put into books. One is they shoot canoes, don't they? Then there's the grasshopper trap. Then the whatchamacallit stew, the bear that ate the whatchamacallit stew. Real something doesn't go oink. I can't remember that. But if you look up Patrick McManus, he has some of the funniest books that I have ever read in my life. And there are stories that I've read when I've really gotten depressed, and I have just laughed myself silly over them. Another wonderful, wonderful book, a newer one, is called Non-Campus Mentis. That's Non-N-O-N Campus, C-A-M-P-U-S, Mentis, M-E-N-T-I-S. And this is written by another professor, Professor Anders and Henriksson, H-E-N-R-I-K-S-S-O-N. And the subtitle is From the Stoned Age to the Canadian Missile Crisis, From Joan of Arc to Florence of Arabia, and From Mount Arafat to the Berlin Wall. Now, it's a world history according to college students, and some of things are some of the funniest things that I have read in a long while. Now, under religion, this is a good one. Hammurabi was a lawyer who lived from 1600 B.C. to 1200 B.C. That was a man who was 400 years old. We think lawyers never die. Apparently, they take a long time to do so. There were three different gods, good, bad, and indifferent. And these beliefs later resurfaced among the manatees. I didn't know manatees had a religion. I thought they just were lovely underwater cows that lived in the Florida. But apparently they had a wonderful thing. The other one that I really liked is the history of the Jewish people begins with Abraham, Isaac, and their 12 children. Judaism was the first monolithic in religion, and it had one big god named Yahweh. Old Testament prophets include Moses, Amy, and Confucius, who believed in Fidel piety. One of the only reasons Confucius was born was because of a Chinese tradition. Poor old Confucius. You know, you really wonder how these college students made it. I like this one from history. Caesar inspired his men by saying, I came, I saw, I went. And when he was assassinated, he is reported as said, me too, Brutus. I wish I could continue reading you a lot of these, but I don't think I really should. You should really read them yourself. Some of the other things that are very, very important in looking for a sense of humor is how can you get yourself to laugh if you don't seem to have a sense of humor? Well, you can by just knowing that you have it already. It's one of the built-in gifts that you have. Believe it or not, psychic and laughter are very close together. When you stimulate yourself again with laughter, you also release a lot of your left brain and just go into your right brain. And it helps, that whole laughter helps to make your entire body come alive. And again, I'm going to refer to this meditation that I had. The channeling information came through was this, in essence. When enough people get together and you work to laugh and bring a lighter vein of energy to yourself and the world around you, it spreads to other people. And as it does, it gains momentum and it can help lighten and increase the higher vibrations of this earth plane. That is part of what was channeled. Part of what we are learning to do today is to heighten and lighten the vibrational energies that are on this earth plane. The old energies are those that have anger and death, destruction, terror, all of these things are held into the old energies. These are the things that go into the earth and cause such major ruckus beneath the earth. The earth herself is very aware of our vibrational purposes. So when there is this anger and hurt and starvation and pain and suffering, heaven and earth know what's going on. This vibration, this energy is red, and the earth acts accordingly, and the angels and the servants of all the Lord Most High and all the souls react and come to help and to lighten this vibration, to help lift people up, because that is dense energy. It's thick, it's slow. It is based in hatred, and it is based in separation from the source of one, which is what we all are reaching for and by whatever name we may give that source. And all people benefit from the joy and laughter that comes in life. And in the channelings, it made it very clear that even though we are going to suffer hurricanes and tornadoes and all of these things that are apocryphal, and man-made, and some are man-made, and we don't know it. It's just made in the unseen world. Yet, we can help alleviate this problem and help to change and lighten the burden and neutralize it in a way if we bring light and laughter and joy into our lives. This is what we do to help ourselves and the earth plane today. And you know, there's much that I'd like to talk to you more about it. I sometimes would wonder how I can reach out more to you. I would like to be able to give some readings to people if they want to call in at any time. That's not a problem. We can do that as well. But a lot of these things that I'm talking to you about, I think will strike a tone inside of people and have an answering bell. Besides laughter, there's something else that I'd like to share with you this evening, and that is, in the holistic way of events, sometimes, you know, we have to use traditional medicine. We work with body, mind, and spirit in this, and through the higher dimensions. And in the spirit, there's a lot of light and laughter, and it comes into the mind and emotions as lightness and joy, and then the healing of the body. And so it is with the world. But another vein that I wanted to talk to you about is also based on some of the experiences that I I have, and I'd like to share with you, because I think I am just the same as everyone that I meet. There are highs and lows. There are joys and sorrows. There's health and there's illness. Now, I'll share with you that about a little over a year now, I started noticing the vision in one of my eyes was getting blurry and seemed to be a little cloudy, and went to see the doctor finally, gave up, you know, went to see the doctor. And he said that there was kind of a leakage of the fluid behind the eye. Now, this is an interesting fact. When you get older, sometimes there's a little lesion that occurs in a fluid sac or the eye jelly that's behind the retina. And as a doctor explained to me, a good doctor, an eye surgeon explained to me recently, when the body is forming, the eyes are in a sac of jelly, and it protects the eyes and helps them to form. And once the eyes are fully formed, then the baby is born, the body is born, then that fluid is no longer relevant. But it just happens to stay with the body through the rest of the life. And as you get older, sometimes through the body, a little stress or strain or what have you, or the thinning of the tissues of the body, the membranes of the body, sometimes a lesion occurs, and then instead of being a help as it was when the eyes were formed, it can cause problems. And you get what's called a puckering or a wrinkling of the membrane behind the eye or over the retina. And a little bit, a lesion or a little tear comes, a little bit of fluid comes out, and it can blur the vision. And this type of situation, it can happen that it can get better, or it can stay the same for a while, or it can get worse. And a year ago, it was suggested I might want to look into it. It wasn't too bad then, but in the years since then, it's deteriorated. And so most recently, in fact, this week, I went to see an eye surgeon, and he said it was very much worse, so I'm going to have eye surgery. And one of the things that I looked at is any time in the body-mind connection, spirit-body-mind connection, I should say, is that there's a reason. There's usually a spiritual and emotional reason for the things that go wrong in our body. So I looked up the Feelings Buried Alive, Never Die by Carol Truman, K-A-R-O-L-K, Truman, T-R-U-M-A-N, to see, okay, what was it in my life? What is it that I did or didn't do or overlooked or what some have you that I am now having a problem with my right eye, which was my strongest eye. And I came up with some things that, geez, truth be known, I have to admit I've gone through part of my life. And then, you know, it's time to release this stuff. It's a great book. It is a wonderful book. I've mentioned it before. It has a directory of probable feelings causing illness. Now, these are feelings, probable feelings, not always 100%, but by golly, when you look at it, it's pretty darn accurate. And she goes into the abdominal area. It starts with abdominal, through abscess, etc., through this, that, and the other energy. It goes from A to Z, in other words, I guess I'm trying to say, although I haven't a clue what Z would be, and I'll look at it up to see if we have anything on Z, except xenophobia, which is pretty funny. Oh, yeast infections. Okay, we got that. But it talks about the different emotional causes, and I wanted to find out, well, now, okay, I have a problem with right eye. What's the problem? So I'm looking up, feeling circles. Now, circles under the eyes are caused by bitterness, remorse, regret, self-condemnation, deep-seated grief, feeling unfulfilled, resentment, glaucoma, protracted hostility, watery, unable to express an inner grief. Here's what kind of I could do. Not wanting to understand what you are seeing, not seeing the truth, fearing the future. I think we've all had a little fear of the future. Here's one that's really good. Not wanting to see life as it is. I think I've gone through my share of not wanting to see life as it is. Not forgiving. You know what? I've held on to things that I should have. An inability to see one's own self-worth. Self-worth. Boy, you know, that really rings true. I have not realized, and as many people don't, how valuable and how worthy they really are. And for this, there's Carol has a wonderful script that you can say to locate the origins and feelings, and you can use any one of those. For example, the one that I thought resonated with me was not seeing self-worth and not wanting to see situations as they really are, because I'd love to sugarcoat them. I'd really like to feel things are a lot easier than they really are. And use the script to analyze it and to remove it and to ask God, with or without using Christ, depending on your own beliefs, to heal and remove all of these emotional feelings so that they can be healed, and to take these feelings and change them into feelings of self-worth, feelings of wanting to see, choosing to see things as they really are, to help bring back healing. And this book is very powerful. I use it often when I do private consultations with people, and it does seem to work. We also work with this in hypnotherapy, and again, it's a powerful healing. So sometimes, however, even in spite of and along with the wonderful healing that comes about with natural or emotional healing or spiritual healing, Reiki, I use Reiki, I use Jinshin Jitsu or hypnotherapy, all of these things. Sometimes you just have to go with traditional medicine, which is a good thing, because if traditional healing weren't put here on Earth, well, God brought it all to Earth. I'm believing that God, whatever healing there is, whatever modality there is, it's one of God's graces that he gives us multiple ways to bring about healing in the body. So I have a firm belief in traditional medicine as well. I think if we can do something else first where we don't have to do invasive surgery, I think that's fabulous too. If we can do faith healing, that's fine too. But everything that we can do to help our bodies come back into alignment and healing is good. I've also been doing some yoga, trying to do the healing. I have done Jinshin Jitsu. I have had Reiki. I've had prayer. I did some acupressure. I don't think there are any pills for this. I don't think so. And just hoping that, you know, I could meet a really holy man who just, you know, bopped me on the head and say, here, you're healed. But that hasn't worked, so I do go in for eye surgery in the next week or so. And it's pretty good prognosis. The eye won't get worse, and it could get better, 50-50 chance. So I just wanted to share with you that, you know, no matter who we are, anything that we have in life, there are things that we can do to help make ourselves better. No one is perfect. I know that when I've looked up some things in the past about what I held, I have found that there are feelings attached to it. For example, there are a lot of people, kids, who have acne, feelings of guilt, feelings of self-rejection, or dislike of self, disowning what is happening in life, or denial, or unwilling to face up to issues. I think that's a lot of what goes on in teenage years, and that's a very interesting type of situation. Arthritis is another one that I found really good. Arthritis, severely criticizing self or others, holding on to feelings of hostility, holding on to your own beliefs and opinions, long-term tension or anger in life, belief that it's wrong to get angry, which creates repressed anger that eats you up, because arthritis, the bones are literally crumbling, needing to be right, rigid in thinking and feelings, inflexibility. A lot of people I've met who've had stiff necks seem to have really inflexible positions in their thoughts and minds, and so they get neck problems. This is a wonderful book, Feelings Buried Alive, Never Die, with Carol Truman. And we're going to have a lot of people in the future. I'm going to have an ophthalmologist on, by the way, who's going to talk about caring of the eyes. And he's traditional medicine, but he's got some really good pointers to give people and how to take care of them for people who are diabetic, and there's so many who are. Dr. Brown is going to talk about what to look for and how to care for, and when it's important to see your ophthalmologist to take care of your eyes. We're going to talk to someone else with the Omega Energies, a channeler, Frankie, and we've got some other wonderful people coming in the not-distant future. We're going to have Dr. Alan Chips on. Wonderful, wonderful hypnotherapist. He's going to be coming in May. He's going to be here around the 17th, 18th of May, whichever Thursday that is, and talk to us about hypnotherapy. And also, he's going to talk about his newest book that he wrote. He is a survivor of cancer, of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and when he was given this diagnosis, he decided he wanted to go and do the alternative therapy route. And 2 years ago, he's diagnosed two and a half years ago, and he no longer has lymphoma. And he's going to talk about how he did that and his new book. A very wonderful person. I take my hypnotherapy training from him. And we have a few others also coming that I hope you're going to like. We're going to have some more psychics on, and we're going to have channelers, and I hope to have a Reiki master on to talk about this. We're going to have a nurse, maybe a neuropathic physician, and any other subjects that people might want to hear that we could talk about on this radio show. I'd like you to send me an email to Psychic Worlds. That's one word, but P-S-Y-C-H-I-C, Worlds, capitalized W-O-R-L-D-S, the number 4, at AOL.com, or you can contact us through bbsradio.com. They have a chat room there, and the show, of course, is The Higher Dimensions. I'd like you to do that. And also, we're going to have our shows, some of our shows in the future, that are going to be sponsored by Comfort Shoes. Comfort One Shoes in Washington, D.C. It's a new regional, not that new, but it's a regional store, and they are just wonderful people, and they are willing to get in and sponsor, and I wanted you to know that they are some fabulous shoes that they have, and they can ship things all around the world. But also, we wanted to have you call in and talk more to us if you possibly could, because we are interested in answering questions that you have and having you call in and share with us your stories. We really do want to connect with you, and we want you to give a chance to give your opinions or to ask questions on the air. Just talking to you is nice. It's fun, and I get to say what I like and to share with you some of my joys and sorrows, but I'd really like to be able to talk to you more about what you'd like to hear and have you share with me and with other people in your immediate environment, family, and maybe we can work together on solutions to problems. I was also wanted to review with you the new number that you can call in. It's 877-876-5227. It's now worldwide, I understand, for the new toll-free number of BBS Radio. Again, it's 877-876-5227, and it is posted on the website's pages. There are, I guess, a few more or things that I'd like to go over with you to help make this world a happier place. I guess there's another little book that's really cute, by Nino Lo Bello, and these are fractured English is what it is. Fur coats made for ladies from their own skin. Okay. The room service in a Lisbon hotel tells you, if you wish for breakfast, lift the telephone and ask for room service. This will be enough for you to bring your food up. A Hamburg tailor will sell you a three-piece suit in stimulated leather. A sign posted on a Geneva corner reads, the parade will take place in the morning if it rains in the afternoon. So be sure to find out if it rains in the afternoon to go to the parade in the morning. a cafeteria in southern France displays this sign. Courteous and efficient self-service. From a Florence window shop, dresses for street walking. I like that one. This advertisement was placed by the hotel Nicosia in the Cyprus Mail. Wanted, part-time receptionist and telephone operator. Small, broad. A Seville tailor makes clear how he will handle commissions. Order now your summer suit because it's big rush. We will execute customers in strict rotation. I don't know if you really, really, really want to go there. And here's a very casual place to eat. A sports jacket may be worn to dinner, but no trousers. American dentist, second floor. Teeth extracted by latest Methodists. I had no idea that it was a religious idea to have your teeth. Wanted, man to wash dishes and two waitresses. Here's something I think an airline should do. We will take your bags and send them in all directions. So far, thank God, I haven't had an airline who was caring to send my bags in all directions.
Phyllis?
Yes.
Yeah, we're winding down.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, how long do we have?
We went over by a minute and a half?
I can't hear you.
About a minute.
About a minute?
Yeah, we went
okay.
over.
Okay, I hope that this radio show tonight, The Higher Dimensions, has helped you a little, because I have had so much fun in sharing with you these last months, and I hope to continue sharing with you so much. And, you know, we're going to have I'm going to be having my own TV show. It's going to be on a different internet. It's going to be on StudioVEE.com, and that's going to be coming up next week. We're going to have some training and some of the same type of thing we're doing here. And it should be very, very interesting. You'll get to see me. It's a short show. It's a half-hour show. And we're going to be training, and we're going to interview people, and we're going to do different locations. And we're going to have a lot of fun, again, doing this. I certainly do enjoy what I'm doing, and I certainly do share with you and enjoy sharing with you what I do. And I do hope that you will listen next week. We will try to have Dr. Reginald Brown with us. And after that, we are going to have Alan Chips and maybe his wife D Chips, and we'll have a few others coming. I want you to remember to contact me. If you want to call me at my office, you can. That's 202-387-2080. You can call me Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. I'm sorry, Eastern Standard Time. I do psychic readings and hypnotherapy. We do counseling. And I do hypnotherapy by phone, and it does work very well. I hope you've enjoyed this hour. I have so much enjoyed sharing with you, and I look forward to seeing you again next week. This is Phyllis Pricer, your host for The Higher Dimension on BBS Radio. Thank you and good night.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.